Rami Makhlouf.
You don't want to overreact. You know, you want to keep perspective.
Nah, screw that. Hit the music, Rob. Hit the music. Let's go.
Let's go. Fit the man for a gold jacket.
For those who don't like our people, that's tough. We like them.
And Hub Arkish.
The key is making the playoffs. I think if they do it at 10-7, I will be a little disappointed because I think they're more talented than that. I think that's the thing. This is a rare occasion. I've been doing this for 45 years now. And I can't remember a time where I thought that the fan base maybe underreacting a little more than overreacting.
Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish, live and local on 670 The Score.
That's us with you until 9 o'clock here on a Friday evening to take you into the weekend ahead of Bears and Panthers. Obviously, lots of talk about that here in the next 3 hours, including Mark Potash, Bears beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, who joins us at 620. A view from Carolina's side of things. Kyle Bailey from WFNZ down in Carolina. He'll join us at 7 o'clock. And Derek Klassen, co-host of the Athletic Football Show, will be here at 8 o'clock. And much, much more, including Hub's thoughts on proposed changes to the way things are done in NFL locker rooms. Hub, how are you this Friday evening, my friend?
I am doing very well. How are you?
I am doing good. We got a Bears win last weekend. And it looks like, Hub, and this is where I wanted to start, naturally, this show on a Friday evening, it looks like, and we sort of said this last week, they should be able to get a win this week against this Carolina Panthers team when you look at it on paper.
Well, they're 5-point favorites, and that's a pretty big number in today's NFL.
Yes.
I'm not sure that it's a good number. I think, I'll say it right now, I'm picking the Bears to win, but I'm not picking them by 5 points.
Really?
Well, I mean, in today's NFL, that's a big
point. That is a pretty big number, yeah.
But they're clearly the more talented team if you put the two rosters together. I would say that they're probably better at quarterback right now, even with the change the Panthers have made. And I keep waiting for this offense to explode. And I think it could be this week.
I'm glad you said that, Hope.
Well, but now what bothers me is the Panthers' defense is better than anybody's paying attention to. That's the thing that's kept them in some of the games. They haven't been in all of them. Their defense isn't that bad. It's on offense and the quarterback change and everything going on there. But at the end of the day, I've been fairly close these last 4 weeks on, you know, where I thought they were at and what I expected. And I've just kind of had this feeling all week that this is the week that maybe this, if Keenan Allen is 100%, because he helped last week, but he didn't make a big difference. And he took, you know, obviously targets away from Moore and Odunze. But if he's 100%, if they've got all three wideouts working, you know, the way they want them to, plus the two tight ends, if the offensive line, which did improve a little bit last week, can improve again more this week, this could be the week that we've been waiting for, because this offense has too much talent to play as badly as they have the first 4 weeks.
I'm glad you said that, though. And folks can get in, 312-644-6767. Might be able to sneak in a call or two. You can also text that number before we talk with Mark Potash of the Sun-Times at 620. But you saying that you're still waiting for this offense to break out, because, Hub, I feel like people were a little too satisfied with what we saw last week and listening to the score and reading things from around the league, social media, talking with friends and family who are Bears fans. I feel like the bar is maybe just a little too low right now, especially for that offense, because people seemed really happy with the offensive performance last week. And I walked out of that one going, that was 2.5 quarters of the same thing that we've seen throughout this season in terms of the things that they've struggled with. And at the end of the day, they had two good drives against what we talked about last weekend being one of the worst defenses in the league and a team that was struggling with a lot of injuries. They had two good drives. The Roschon Johnson touchdown, that was on a short field, and that drive was saved by a pass interference in the end zone. And the other two drives that they scored touchdowns on were good and probably better than we've seen, but it's still two good drives against a really bad defense. I need more, Hub. I need more than that.
Well, and Rami, the thing that's nagging at me is that the last two defenses they've played have been two of the worst defenses in the league. Again, I think Carolina's defense is better than people realize. It's not a great defense. It's not even necessarily a good one, but it's not their problem. Their problems have been mainly on offense. And so this isn't going to be the easiest week for the offense to finally take off. But when you compare the talent, look at their defense and the Bears' offense. The Bears have the talent to have a big week this week. And I just think, you know, they've been making adjustments. They've done a nice job as opposed to going 0-4 like last year, turning it into 2-2 this year. And they, I'm sure they've got more adjustments this week. And that's why I have kind of a positive feeling about the offense.
I do too. 312-644-6767. I don't want to make it sound like it was all negatives and all gloom and doom. The running game was much better, obviously. It was the most efficient we've seen Caleb Williams. Not special. He didn't do a lot of, you know, there wasn't a lot of flashy plays, but the most efficient game I think he's had as a quarterback. Things that bothered me was you didn't really get the passing game going. Not to dwell too much on last week. I want to look ahead to the game against Carolina on Sunday. And then one thing that really bothered me, Hub, in last week's game was they got the ball twice in the fourth quarter with under 5 minutes with the chance to kill the game, to run out the clock, hold on to that lead and kill the game. And twice they couldn't do it. And they gave Matthew Stafford the ball back. And honestly, in a sense, when you give Matthew Stafford leads the NFL in fourth quarter comeback victories over the course of his career, the fact you gave him the ball twice when you could have killed the game and killed the clock there, you're kind of lucky to walk out of there with him. Like Matthew Stafford, I know he didn't have his top two wide receivers, but that's a guy who gets the job done a lot in those situations. And you gave him two chances to get the job done. The defense had to sort of save the day.
Well, that's true. No question about it. But what I have to add is when you say gave him the ball, it almost sounds like that was their plan. And obviously it wasn't.
I just mean they couldn't achieve the goal or the objective there in that situation.
I'm not criticizing or disagreeing with anything you're saying. I'm just making the point. Again, this offense just isn't there yet. And it would have been nice if it arrived in the fourth quarter last week, and that was when they took a game over, but it hasn't happened yet. And the one other thing I wanted to mention, I was at Halas Hall today, as I try to be pretty much every day, and I asked Flus today what his biggest concern is about how to get the offensive line to play better and about how they've played so poorly. And he said that he felt that they did, you know, get better and improve, you know, last week. But in the way he described it, I came away from it with a sense that he's still trying to figure out what's wrong with the offensive line, too. And that's not a criticism of his coach. That's a reality of where they're at right now. Because they probably made more roster moves on the offensive line than anywhere this offseason. And they really thought they'd improved it. And I thought they had, too. And I still think this group can play better. Now, whether it's going to be good enough to eventually be not just a playoff contender, but a Super Bowl contender, that's a whole different question. But that was, in my mind at least, was never part of this season's evaluation anyway. That was to hope for next year. But if the offensive line takes another stride this week like they did last week, they've got all the other talent they need for this offense to start to take off a little bit, and I think that's what everybody's still waiting for.
312-644-6767. Rami and Hub with you on a Friday night on the Score Evening Show. If you want to get in on it, give us a call or give us a text. And we'll talk with Mark Potash coming up at about 6:20. But like you said, Hub, I want to see this offense get going, and I don't know if this is asking too much or setting the bar too high. I don't just want a win on Sunday. I want to say it was Dan Wiederer who was talking to Spiegel and Holmes and said this could be an anxiety-free win on Sunday. And that's what I'm looking at. I know there are no easy wins. I don't want the Bears to look at this as an easy win, like they can just go out and roll the helmets and win that football game. But this is a game where I feel like they can get going, and I want to be impressed, and I want a game that's a little bit easy and that I'm not sweating in the fourth quarter. The Panthers are dead last in the NFL in scoring defense, 28th in total defense, 29th in defending the run. Half their team is hurt. I mean, we talked about the injuries with the Rams last week. Their whole linebacker core is out, including Shaq Barrett, who's the centerpiece of that defense. Half their secondary is out. A couple of guys on their offensive line are out. I mean, this is a game that's there for the picking. This is a bad football team. I know things have sort of steadied since Andy Dalton came in, but this is a bad football team. And I think we called it a must win last week, Hub, when we were on this very show at the same very time slot. I think we were talking more about, you know, how it looks in the standings with the difference between 2-2 and 1-3. They sort of steadied the boat in terms of the standings. I don't think there's a huge difference between 2-3 and 3-2 and what it does to your playoff chances. But in terms of the perceptions of us as fans, of people who watch the game and talk about it, I think maybe even in the locker room to a degree, to get a convincing win in this, I think would be a huge statement and would do a lot for the optics and the perception of this football team, Hub, because I've read a lot. I've heard a lot about the trade that the Bears and the Panthers made and the bounty that the Bears got in it, and it certainly looks great. They're going to have five guys out on the field this week playing a big role who they got in that trade, and there's still a second-round pick to come from that trade coming up this offseason.
First pick in the second round.
If somehow Andy Dalton and the Panthers offense comes out and is a higher-functioning offense than what the Bears have, and if somehow the Panthers beat the Bears on Sunday, for all the talk about that trade and how good it was and how Ryan Poles fleeced the Panthers, at the end of the day, we're looking at two and three football teams and an offense quarterbacked by Andy Dalton running at a higher level than the one run by Caleb Williams. That's not something that I want to even try to wrap my head around, Hub.
Well, yeah. Now, I will disagree with you for the first time about one thing. It was a good trade regardless. Even if they lose, it's look at what they've gotten out of it.
In terms of the value, yes, yeah. But in terms of the results it's gotten you and how far you've come as an organization, you're just both sitting there at 2-3.
Yeah, but that comes back to it's week five.
Sure.
You know, and so we'll see where they've come as an organization. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced they will be better because they have added real talent with it. But the one thing that you have to worry about for this week, or what fans should not necessarily worry about, but at least be aware of, this is a totally different team. With Young on the bench. I mean, they've got an NFL quarterback playing. They've been much more competitive. They've gotten their first win since they benched him, you know, and so they're not quite as bad as everybody thinks they are. They're not good, but they're not as bad as they were a couple weeks ago.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah. And putting in an Andy Dalton is going to sort of calm things down. I mean, he's not a world beater, but he's a guy who's been playing quarterback in this league for a long time, and you can expect a certain level of performance and professionalism from
a
guy like that.
Yeah, and the fact that he's an ex-Bears quarterback should give everybody a little better feeling about this week.
Fair enough. 312-644-6767. So both Hub and I saying this is a game they should win. Both Hub and I saying would like to see the offense take a big step forward. I don't know if Hub would go this far, but I want kind of an easy win. I want to be impressed on Sunday by this Bears team, and especially by that offense.
I want the same thing. I guess the only point I'm trying to make is, as long as they win, I'm not going to complain. I'll evaluate it, and I'll be honest if I think there were negative things that happened. But first, for me, is get a win. Second, win big. Make it look good. Then that'll quiet everybody better. I'm just not sure how many players or coaches really care what the fans are saying right now. I think they're more focused on doing their jobs and learning the systems better and starting to have people feel better about them.
312-644-6767. We'll talk with Mark Potash of the Sun-Times in just a few minutes. But Jeff in Northburg dialed that. Now he's on the score. What's up, Jeff?
Number one, Hub. Been listening to you for quite a while. Great analysis. You're a pro's pro.
Thank you.
There's
Jeff.
A lot of talking heads out there right now, and Hub, I think you take your analysis to the next level. Well done.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, I think that it's if we don't get better pass protection and better run blocking schemes, then no matter how much skill players you add on the wings, even with Caleb in the middle, you're not going to get the results that you're looking for. It all begins with pass protection and run block schemes. I'll turn it back to you guys.
Well, you know, Jeff, the only thing I would say about that, I think, you know, what you're saying is fair and reasonable, but it wasn't going to happen on day one. You know, they brought in basically four new offensive linemen, only two that they hoped would start, only one of which is starting right now. But, you know, the bottom line is that, yeah, you know, they've got to get better on the offensive line, which is in essence what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to. There is enough talent to get better. Now, are they going to be good enough? We're not going to know that until we get to the middle, a little past the middle of the season, and then we see what other changes they make at the end of the season, because I think we've already seen enough to know there's going to be a few more changes.
Yeah, I would say that's safe to say. Do you have I was reading some speculation about this today. Do you have, like, when all the offensive linemen are healthy, in your mind, Hub, based on what you see, the five that you would put out there? Because we're pretty close to Bates being available.
Yeah, I think I do now, because I wasn't ready to write off Nate Davis until last week. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me at this point he's not going to be their starting guard, and he's probably not going to be back next year. And that kind of confuses everything. I like the young tackles. I think they are both going to be very good NFL players. I think on the right side, he's already pretty good, although he didn't have a good game last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think they have enough. And then you've got your third-round pick who hasn't played yet because he hasn't been healthy. So I think they still have enough options at tackle that they may be okay. Even though they let, you know, their guy move on and brought in two new centers, neither one of them were answers at the center position, and only one of them has been healthy enough to play so far. And now, having to replace Davis, and then with Tevin Jenkins hurt, who was playing really well until he got hurt again, yeah. I'm not sure what they've got there either. So the only place, honestly, around where I'm comfortable going forward, positive, not comfortable, is tackle, because I think those two young tackles are going to be good football players. But I'm not sure at the guards and center whether the people here are going to be here next year, or if they can do enough in the next, you know, whatever they've got left, 13 weeks, to earn the right to be back.
As much as I don't like what I've seen from Coleman Shelton at center, I also think it's a risky proposition changing centers halfway through the season once Bates gets healthy with a rookie quarterback. Do you think that's a risk they take?
It's a great point. People need
And I read today, I didn't know this, but I don't know which one is which, but one of them snaps with the right hand, one of them snaps with the left hand, and that's another change that a quarterback is going to have to adjust to.
Yeah, I'm not sure if people realize this, but the center may be the most important guy in the organization to a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not saying, obviously, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, all those guys are really important too, but it's really important for a rookie quarterback. And no excuses for Caleb Williams. I don't think he needs excuses. I don't think he's played badly. I think he's performed pretty close to where I expected from a rookie quarterback, you know, trying to learn the NFL. But at the end of the day, he has not yet gotten most of the help they expected him to get from all these weapons that they added for him. And we were never really focusing on the offensive line. We were focusing so much on the receivers and the tight ends and the running back. But we're not going to see who Caleb Williams really is, NFL Caleb Williams, until they get this offensive line at least playing average football. Just get there, and then we'll have a much better sense, because I can guarantee you some of the things that haven't worked out for Caleb so far are going to start to work out once the offensive line is doing their jobs.
Sean, can I take another call, or should we get to the break and get to Mark Potash?
You can take maybe one more call.
Let's get in Jake in Ottawa. Jake, you're on the score. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
so, Jake. I just wanted to call in and comment. So, obviously, the offense, I think, didn't play as well as we wanted to, but I think, you know, with Caleb not turning the ball over, showing a little bit of improvements to taking care of the ball, I think we're happy with that. As far as the offensive line, though, they still played pretty bad, in my opinion. We had a couple penalties that wiped out sacks that would have been on the stat sheet that would have been a hit against them. And I'm kind of where I think we're going to need next year three new offensive line. Braxton Jones, as everybody else says, he's going to his third year. And if we were grading Braxton Jones on a first, second, or third round level, I don't think we'd be as high on him. I think the fact that he's a fifth round pick, everybody's riding the high of, man, you know, which is an amazing story. We've gotten a lot of a fifth-round pick, but we're going to third year, and we're still having the same issues with Braxton. I like Darnell Wright, but I think we need three offensive linemen next year with a center, guard, and another tackle to compete with him. I'm not saying to put him on the bench and just not let him compete, but we need to bring some competition, and I think this year Poles needs to have his biggest year as far as addressing the offensive line and, you know, and getting that tightened up.
My guess would be most fans don't even remember Braxton Jones as a fifth-round pick. That I don't think that's a factor. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, you know, about him as a player, but the fact that he was a fifth-round pick is meaningless. I mean, he's been a starter from day one after being a fifth-round pick, and that's pretty impressive for a guy coming into the NFL. So I think we just have to see. He's had some injuries. He's missed some time. And nobody's pretending that he's a Pro Bowler. You know, we don't know yet, but he has shown enough. If nothing else, starting as a rookie at left tackle is really impressive. And so, you know, we'll see. I'm really curious. I can't remember the kid's name off of me, but he's from Chicago. He was drafted in the third round this year, and he still hasn't taken a snap. Yeah, Roman Abagaji, and he hasn't even taken a snap yet, so we don't know. But I know that Poles has talked about him a couple times, and by taking him where they did in the third round, which is higher than, you know, a number of other teams I talked to had him, they obviously think a lot of him. So not only do I think they are still hopeful about improving Braxton Jones and more, but I think they're curious about him too. And I think they will, again, add more talent there too.
Yeah, I'm not too disappointed on Braxton Jones. I wouldn't be surprised if they needed three new linemen next year. Tevin Jenkins, along that interior, he'll be a free agent this offseason. With his injury history, I think the Bears have to consider whether or not he's somebody they can rely on to bring back. And if you can sign him, if you do decide you want to bring him back. But, Hub, the fact that we're going into week five and we're talking about what they should do at offensive line this coming offseason, that tells you to a degree that this plan isn't necessarily working, at least not to the degree that I thought that it would be by year three.
Well, and I would tell you, and I have to be careful in how I voice this because I don't want to put Flus on the spot. But when I asked him the question about the offensive line today, is it the way he was looking at me by answering me, I thought he was saying, I'm not really sure or happy with what's happened so far either. I think they expected this to be better than it is right now, and that's why I think they're struggling a little bit to sort it out.
We'll talk more about the Bears, the matchup with the Panthers, with Mark Potash, Bears beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. He joins me, Rami Makhlouf, and Hub Arkish next on the Score Evening Show.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
I really just think they're getting the continuity. I think a big step in the right direction last week. That was really good to see them running the football and protecting a little bit better. And I think it's just that, having the same continuity there, working through, with a young quarterback and other new skill positions. So I just think it's just time on task, and it's going to keep improving every single week.
That's Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Hub Arkish, talking Bears and Panthers with you until 9 o'clock. And joining us now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline to talk about those Bears. He covers them for the Chicago Sun-Times. Pleasure to welcome in Mark Potash. Mark, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. We're coming off a win. It looks like, Mark, and I'm not asking for your prediction right off the bat, but it looks like this is a game that the Bears should win. They should be able to stack a couple in a row here.
Yeah, almost. It's one of those situations where they just have to kind of hold serve, I guess, and not disappoint. I'm not sure how much you can make out of a game like this, but this is a game that based on all the matchups and everything, the Bears defense against Andy Dalton and, the Bears offense is making strides. I mean, this is a game that they really should win. I have them winning fairly handily, or I think they should. So, anyone who's been around here long enough knows that sometimes things don't work out exactly. And as you plan and where the Bears are right now with Caleb Williams and the offense and stuff like that, anything can happen. I mean, I hate to take that kind of cop out, but if the Bears took the next step and look great, that wouldn't surprise me. But if they struggle, especially with their offensive line, that wouldn't surprise me either. That's just part of covering the Bears.
It's easier when I turn the mic on, isn't it? Mark, I know that answer we heard from Flus just now, right before you came on, was his answer to the question I asked him about the offensive line. And I got a sense looking at him answering the question that what he was thinking, and it's my sense. I'm not saying he was thinking this. I'm not accusing him of anything. But the sense I got was he was as surprised and uncertain as I am about why this has been so bad and the struggles that they're having. Do you get any sense of that this is still a work in progress and that this is going to change again, or that the other part of what he just said is it's just time on task and each week they get a little better?
Yeah, I think they're a little surprised that this offensive line, which was always going to be a work in progress, but the surprise is that it's worse than it was last year under Luke Getsy. And I think that's a big concern. I don't know how much it is inside the building, but certainly anybody who's just observed the Bears, this was an offensive line that, regardless of how much of the rushing last year was Justin Fields, was second in the NFL in rushing last year. So there's a certain level of confidence, and they've got everybody back except for the center. And now to a man, I think the individual regression and the regression in general under Shane Waldron is, I think a little off-putting and definitely a red flag. And that's why I say at the beginning to the previous question why all bets are off, because if the Bears had a better offensive line, you'd feel much, much better about this offense and where they're heading. But that kind of, puts a damper on everything. An offensive line, as anyone who follows football knows, it can make or break you. And if that's the weak link, that makes everybody worse than they are. And so it's definitely, absolutely, it's a concern. And I guess the issue is it doesn't, I know they had a good game rushing last week, but it's hard to see it really, taking a major leap in 1 week or 2 weeks. It's really seemed like it's going to be a slog, and I can't say right now that oh, they'll eventually get there, which is what we thought at the beginning. It might be rough at first, but they'll eventually get there. I got to see more evidence now to be able to say that at this point.
Talking with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times here on the Score Evening Show. And you know, Mark, when I've expressed frustration with this Bears offense through the first 4 weeks, even in the win last week, and a lot of people seemed satisfied with what they saw from the offense last week, I wasn't really. And people keep telling me, well, you got to have patience. You got to have patience. And I'm not saying I expected this offense to be a finished product and clicking on all cylinders by week four. I just expected it to look better than this. It sounds like you did too by this point.
Yeah, I think that's been the theme of this season in the early going, even though it's early and you know, in a couple weeks, it could be over 500. But the one thing we said with Caleb Williams and the supporting cast they gave him is that, said it all since the training camp, was that the floor was much higher. And so, you know, I never expected Caleb Williams to throw 93 passing yards in a game ever in his career. You know, never expected the Bears to, to have like 63 yards on 28 carries as an offense against a bad defense or bad rushing defense like Colts ever. And so everything is, it's been a disappointment that they've been below what you thought their floor was. So I think that, you know, the ceiling is still high. So I mean, I think that's one thing in their favor. But I guess that it's been, that it just looks like it's going to be even more of a work in progress than we thought, I think is a little disappointing.
You know, Potsy, yeah, I think part of the problem is that people just don't want to accept that these rebuilds take at least 2 and usually 3 years before teams are really competitive. And there's a text here we got from one of our listeners said, keep preaching about the O-line and center issue. All-pro center was a huge miss this offseason. Well, first of all, I don't know of any all-pro centers that were missed this offseason. But more importantly, with the first and the ninth picks in the draft, was there an offensive lineman that you would have taken ahead of Caleb Williams or Rome Odunze?
Well, no, and I'm not gonna second guess that because I was all in favor when they signed Keenan Allen, when they traded for Keenan Allen. My very first thought was, I hope this doesn't take him out of a receiver at 9, and so I was all in favor of that because they had the makings. They still have the makings of an offensive of a good enough offensive line, but like Matt Eberflus referred to in that in answer to your question, they've had zero continuity and they just can't get it. I mean, the numbers are the same. I've been reciting them for the last year and a half. They've had 20 different starting offensive lines in, 38 games. You know, that's just not a recipe for success. And they've had like 47 now different combinations in games. They've played like 12 games in 3 years where the offensive line has played every snap. They just can't they can't go a full game, more than one or two games where everybody gets used to each other and gets continuity and chemistry. And that's part of, the reason I harp on that is because the offensive line is the one part of any football team where you can take five guys and no matter what they are, no matter whether they're bad, good, mediocre, whatever, they can be better if they just play together. It's a team within a team. And it's the saving grace for a lot of teams. And a lot of teams that have done well in the playoffs not because they have the greatest offensive line, but because they've had all five starters play every game. So that continuity, to me, is absolutely a key factor, and they just have not gotten it. So, that along with guys regressing, maybe because of injuries, Darnell Wright is not as good as he was, Braxton Jones is not as good as he was, Tevin Jenkins not as good as he was, that's a little bit of an issue, I think, or at least a little bit of a red flag for me as an observer, because I thought that was a baseline, that they would be good, and it would be a work in progress, but it's more than that at this point.
You know, Mark, I keep coming back to where we're at in this rebuild and what we can expect and what we just have to be patient with. And, now we're talking about, positions where, I'm wondering if they're better or not. I know that going into the offseason, one of their biggest areas of concern was the defensive line. And I thought there were going to be some significant additions there. There weren't any significant changes. And yet the defensive line is playing pretty well the first 4 weeks of the season. Are they set there, or do you think they still need to add more talent?
Well, the way they're playing now, I think they have to be happy with that. That's been kind of a surprise. Not only that, not only just how effective they've been, but just their balance. I mean, they've been they've been good with or without Montez Sweat making a big impact. They've had so many guys, and you know the funny thing is their sack statistics are not great, but by the eye test, you just know just watching them, they've been really good. So you know, I think it's a little deceptive. Usually, sacks are pretty good. Barometer of success, and I think the Bears are actually better than their sack numbers indicate as far as their defensive line and just defense overall. So no, their defense has been good. It's just it's a matter of sustaining it and seeing how teams, you know how it is. Everybody sees film, and as you get later in the year, you see teams a second time and stuff like that. They're going to adjust, and it's up to the Bears to be good enough. But right now, to answer your question, I think it's been a big surprise, just almost the opposite of the offensive line. Is that their defensive line has been as good, and their one weakness this year has been against the run. And that if you have a confidence that they can do anything on the defensive line, it's stop the run. Just like last year, they were very bad early and got better. So even their weakness is not really that big of an issue, because I think that's something that they're really good at and or will be really good at and have proven in the past they've improved on it. So I think overall their defensive line, you know, obviously one of the least of their worries, one of the best things about this team and the reason why their defense has been able to keep them in a lot of game in every game so far.
Rami, one real quick addition
sure,
on that.
Go ahead.
When they made the trade for Montez Sweat, I thought they were getting their pass rusher, but I've now seen, I'm not sure he's ever going to be a 15 or 13 sack guy, but every game that guy makes at least
yep.
one, usually two or three game changing plays.
Yep.
Could be a sack. Could be a tackle on the run game. It could just be, you know, causing the quarterback to throw the ball away. But Montez Sweat is a legitimate Pro Bowler. He went to one. But, I mean, that trade alone is looking like, you know, one of the best moves that Ryan Poles has made.
Oh, it's entirely changed that defense. And, yeah. and talking with Mark Potash of the Sun-Times, Mark, when you look at this defense, eighth in the NFL right now in scoring, 10th in total defense, but third in takeaways. We talked about the ceiling of the offense. Do you think we've seen the ceiling of this defense, or the arrow still pointing up there?
No, I think if they stay healthy, I think they're just getting started. I think they've got, like I said, they've got great balance. This maybe isn't as devastating a defense as some of the good ones, even in 18 with Vic Fangio and some of Lovey's defenses. But, boy, I think there are fewer weaknesses on this defense position by position than I've seen in a lot of the really good Bears defenses. They are balanced. Like I said, they have a playmaker at every level. They are balanced at every level with the defensive line playing like it is now. And they have great potential in all those good the good second year players like Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, you know, playing well. Tariq Stevenson, he's been a hot and cold guy, but to the upside, you know, his good has been better than his not good. So all in all, the defense I think has every opportunity if they stay healthy to really reach another level. And you know I know they're planning on doing that because they know they want to. Shore up that run game and then really make it even that much better. So to answer your question, no, I think they still have a lot of upside if they stay healthy because they're that good. They have balance and no real weak spots. I mean, Jack Sanborn hasn't played hardly many snaps at all, but he's already made like four or five plays that you remember mm-hmm. in a game, just watching it. And I think you would say, you know, he'd be near the bottom of the list of playmakers on the Bears, but he's been incredibly efficient. So that just tells you just how good I think their defense has been and you know, how much room they have for improvement because they really don't have, you know, what you would consider, you know, a weak link.
You know, Patsy, the one other thing we may see coming is, I can't guarantee this, but I think there's a good chance that this kid Booker in the fifth round, or the kid that they traded with Seattle from, who comes in and gets two sacks in the first game, one or two of those guys could be their primary pass rusher. And those are just two more really nice moves by Poles that we didn't think much of when they happened, but could be other significant improvements in this defense.
Well, you know how it is, you know, with you know any good defense, you know, the 85 Bears, Lovey's 2005, 2006 Bears. You always get players who, you know, are really good, you know, good athletes or whatever. Just have all it takes is one or two good traits, and then you put them in good situations. And whenever you're playing downhill like that, guys like that, like Booker, can really start to make an impact. And the best thing about that, I think, is that, you know, in years past, a guy like Booker, you put all your hope on a guy like that really coming through, even though he's just like a fifth round pick. I mean, he's just an extra guy now. I mean, there's no pressure on him. They don't, when he doesn't make plays, they don't miss anything. So, I mean, they are kind of playing with house money, I think, on defense. and they have that ability. Like you said, you know, it's, you know, when, you know, Ryan Poles has made some moves that, you know, when you are really good, you see it on offense with teams like Kansas City. It's foreign here, but you see it with teams like the Chiefs and stuff, man. They just throw any guy in there, and all of a sudden he's much better than he would have been on your offense. It's the same way with some of any of the good, you know, like any of the good Bears defenses. They've always been like that, the Nick Kwiatkowskis and guys like that, Nick Williams and those guys, and Mark Anderson, you know, a couple 20 years ago or whatever. You always have guys like that. So, I mean, that's where they are on defense now, where, you know, they can, if a guy has any ability at all, he has an opportunity here, because they're always playing, or often playing, with the wind at their back.
That's Mark Potash. Read his work in the Chicago Sun-Times, chicagosuntimes.com, on Twitter, at Mark Potash, covering the Bears and doing a great job of it. Mark, we appreciate the time and the insight, sir.
Thanks, guys. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. And he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. We'll keep the Bears talk going after this. Who's the measuring stick? Who can we compare this football team to? We'll discuss that. It's Hub Arkish, Rami Makhlouf, Score Evening Show on a Friday night, and back right after this.
DeAndre, when you guys started the season, it was slow going at first with the running game. And there was a lot of times you got the ball and there wasn't a lot of places to go. You're getting tackled in the backfield, just a lot of short runs. And you had this incredible breakout against the Rams. But, you know, through a month when the running game isn't really working, there's chirping, there's internet this, internet that. Were you hearing some of that stuff, and how do you respond?
I'd be lying if I told you I didn't hear or see anything. I have a phone, so it's hard to kind of not see anything or hear anything. But I just go to work every single day with a mentality of getting better. It ain't going to rain forever. That's kind of my mentality. Just keep going to work every single day, finding ways to get better, and that's all I can do.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
My bad, big voice guy. Stepped on you there a little bit. That's us. We are here with you until 9 o'clock. Coming up at 7 o'clock, a view from the Carolina side of this game. Kyle Bailey, who does pre and post for WFNZ down in Charlotte, he'll join Hub and myself. You heard there DeAndre Swift, like I said, on NFL Network talking about, he heard the criticisms, Hub, and I've been somebody who's criticized DeAndre Swift and this football team as a whole. And I keep saying, people, including yourself, keep preaching patience to me, and that this is going to take time. And I wouldn't be surprised if, in the end, I was just a little too impatient. Like, if this day ends up working and I look back and I'm like, yeah, probably should have calmed down back then. You were getting a little bit carried away. But I think, Hub, some of where my disappointment comes from is maybe I suffer from, like, some kind of comparison anxiety, because I'm always trying to find, like, a measuring stick. Like, okay, it took them this long to figure this out. Why can't the Bears figure it out in that long? Or whatever the case might be. And I'll start right in the division and what we've seen so far this year. And the Bears, they sit in last place in the standings. They're in a tie with the Packers, but I don't know what tiebreaker, statistical tiebreaker, puts them in last. But they currently sit in last. But standings aside, I look at this division, and especially when you look at what Minnesota is doing with Sam Darnold at quarterback after losing J.J. McCarthy in the preseason, I look at this division and I go, why is everybody passing up the Bears or able to keep the distance that they have ahead of the Bears? Is that fair on my end? And is that a fair assessment? And is it fair to compare to those teams when you look at the rest of the NFC North?
Well, actually, I'm not sure, though, if you go back and look over the last 2 years, if people are keeping up the distance. I think the Bears, from 3-14 to 7-10, and now they're 500 through 4 weeks. Not that that means all that much. So, I think the Bears have closed on the other three teams a little bit, not nearly as much as they have to, but I do think they're going in the right direction. And, you know, I think everybody can see that, especially with the way they played the Lions last year, the way they played the Vikings last year. They didn't play the Packers very well. You know, they may never play the Packers very well. Who knows? But, you know, I know I keep saying the same thing, and I apologize for that. But rebuilds take at least 2, sometimes 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, we can want more sooner, and that's fair. You know, you're entitled to want more. But that doesn't mean that the team is doing something wrong, because it's not happening faster than it normally does.
But and that's legitimate. It does take time, especially when you're doing as thorough a rebuild as what the Bears did. But even with that in mind, and again, I'll just stay in the division, and there are other comparisons we can look at too here in a minute. But the Lions. They were in the NFC Championship by year three. I mean, it took till year three, but they were in the NFC Championship. I don't, now crazier things have happened, but I don't see the Bears making it to the NFC Championship this year. So to me, their rebuild happened faster than what the course that the Bears are on right now. I could be wrong, but just looking at their trajectory, it happened faster. When you look at the Packers, they didn't even need a rebuild. Like, they, in the last 3 years, not only did they trade their Hall of Fame quarterback, they traded or released one of the best offensive tackles in the league in David Bakhtiari, and traded one of the best wide receivers in the league in Devontae Adams, who's on the trade block again right now, if you believe what you hear. And they didn't skip a beat. They went right back to the playoffs last year. Minnesota, with a first-year quarterback, well, a guy who's in their system for the first year and off the scrap heap in Sam Darnold, their offense seems to be running at a more at a more efficient pace or more efficient rate than what the Bears are right now. So you're right. They have closed the gap in the distance between them and the rest of the division, but I feel like they move slower than the rest of the division when you look at those things that I just listed off. Am I wrong?
I wouldn't say you're wrong, and I wouldn't debate you either, but I would point out that, you know, the Vikings, the year before last, were a 14-3 football team in the division, champs. Mm-hmm. And last year, going into the midway point of the season, they were on their way to repeat. And then, of course, he gets hurt, you know, and the season ends. You know, I look at the Lions, and their history is that even when there's no way they can, they will still find ways to lose where they shouldn't. And that's what still makes everybody, you know, a little nervous about them. But they're now a 3-1 football team that was a pretty good playoff team last year. And then, you know, you've got the Packers. You say, you know, it didn't take them 3 years. Weren't they 9-8 last year?
I mean, they were.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't really done. They did win a playoff game, and they were very impressive the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. But then if you saw Jordan Love stinking up the field the first three quarters this past weekend, you better not be positive they're set with Jordan Love, you know. So the Bears, 19 games ago, were by far the worst team in the division.
Mm-hmm.
They are not by far the worst team in the division anymore.
No, they've made up some ground. And you're right. You were right to correct me when you said that, when I said that they haven't made up ground. They have. It's maybe just not moving at the pace that I had hoped it would move. We'll get back to the Bears. We'll get back to your thoughts on them coming up a little later in the show. Right after this, the view from the Carolina side of this matchup. Kyle Bailey, pre- and post-game host for WFNZ in Charlotte. He'll join Hub and myself next on The Score Evening Show.
The Score is your home for the 46th running of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. Join your host, Josh Liss, and our team of marathon experts Sunday morning, October 13th, starting at 7 a.m. to hear the world's elite athletes compete to be the fastest through 26.2 miles of Chicago's neighborhoods. Will last year's world record be broken?
A record! A world record in Chicago! It has been smashed!
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon live broadcast exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, it's David Hoff for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 670 The Score. The NFL is flying by, but you still have time to start the season with a big return on FanDuel. FanDuel, of course, is America's number one sportsbook. Get started now. Bet a little, win a lot. You can get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Wow, think about that. $200 guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And you also can build a quick same-game parlay for the Sunday matchup of your choice. Maybe you have the Bears. Maybe you want an anytime touchdown from DJ Moore. Maybe you want Caleb Williams to go over on the passing yards. Maybe you think under on the rushing yards for DeAndre Swift if they have problems running the football. Whatever the case is, there's all kinds of opportunities for you to make some money on same game parlays. Bet the Bears, get involved, and win big. Just visit FanDuel.com/score, S-C-O-R-E, to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 and older and present in Illinois. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric. You've seen those free furnace ads, or those free with the purchase of any air conditioner. Well, we all know those are too good to be true. At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric, we give an upfront, honest price. And I personally guarantee to beat any buy one, get one free offer by $1,000. Guaranteed. That's right. Any free furnace offer, I'll beat it by $1,000. Guaranteed. So call today.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
It's finally starting to actually feel like fall outside. So you know what that means. time to get to Kohl's for cozy, comfy, and cute outfits. With their friends and family sale, I saved 20% on everyday styles that I can't wait to wear all fall long. Plus, I earned Kohl's cash. But don't take my word for it. Get to Kohl's and discover fall faves for yourself. Select styles. Offers end October 6th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
All right, everyone, huddle up. It's third and long, and the IRS is showing an all-out blitz on us. What's the play? The play is you call PJN Tax Solutions Group. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, we may be able to settle your entire IRS debt for up to 85% off the original amount owed, including penalties and interest if you qualify. Is the IRS intercepting your paycheck? Have they thrown a flag for delay a game on your bank account? Dealing with the IRS on your own is a no-win game. Don't call some 1-800 firm 10 states away. PJN Tax Solutions Group is a local tax resolution firm located right here in St. Charles, Illinois. When you draft us, you will not have to speak or meet with the IRS. Call PJN Tax Solutions Group now, 630-415-5296, so you don't get sacked by the IRS. Once again, 630-415-5296, or visit our website, pjntaxsolutions.com. Either way, call us when you want the IRS off your ASS.
So my home is also my office, and before I can focus, every room's gotta be clean. That means tidying up and spraying my Febreze Air Mist. Ooh, that's fresh. Febreze Air Mist scents are all high quality. They fight any weird funk, and they give my air an instant boost of freshness. So not only does my home smell good, I feel good too. After I Febreze, it's time to start my day.
Breathe happy Febreze, la 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 la.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires two lines of service, age validation, and credit approval subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and